Sechas brachas daf base. I'm an aleph. Maybe 10 lines up from the bottom. The words amar mar. Okay, so we're now going to pick up on the topic of the words that the Mishnah said. It said the starting time for Kriya Shema is from the time that the Kohanim are nechnasim leechol b'trumasim, the time the Kohanim come to eat their truma. So let me just start by reading the pasuk about where this is going to come from, the Kohanim eating their truma. So I'm reading here from Vayikra, it's Perek Chav Beis. I'll start from Pasuk Hey, even though it's a little early, just to see the context. It says, "Oh, Ish Asher Yiga Bechol Sheretz," or any man who touches, you know, Sheretz, when things that make you tame, Asher Yitama Lo, that makes a person tame. Oh, but Adam Asher Yitama Lo, Lechol Tumaso, or he touches a person, this Kohen touches a person that makes him tame, however that's going to happen, one of those kind of tumas. Nefesh Asher Tigabo V'tama Ada Erev, the person who got tame by touching the Sheretz, the Kohen, or the Sheretz, or by touching the human being who was Matamim, he's tame until the evening. Below Yochel Min HaKadshim, he may not eat from the Kadshim, the sanctified food, we'll define in a second. However, Ki Im Rachatz Besaro B'mayim, unless he literally washed his flesh in water, that's the Tevila. Then Pasuk Zion says, this is an important Pasuk that we'll darshan in the actual Gemara, Uva HaShemesh V'taher, which literally means, and the sun comes, and he is Tahor, Va'achar, and after that, Yochal Min HaKadshim, he will eat from the Kadshim, Kilachmahu, because that's his bread, that's his food. So, that's the context. Now, the Pasuk says, Uva HaShemesh V'taher, and the sun comes, and then it's tahor, and after that, va'achar yochal min hakachim. After that, he'll be able to eat from the kachim. Now, kachim usually refers to sacrificial meat, normally. However, here the Gemara in Yevamos on Dalet, I'm in a base, darshans, it says min hakachim. He can eat from some of the kachim, not all the kachim. What that some of that kachim? That's referring to truma, because many times there's a gezer shava connecting truma to kachim. So this kachim here is truma. Okay, so the pasuk is talking about him daf getting truma, which we talked about yesterday. But the pasuk is a little ambiguous. It says it's uva hashemesh, the sun comes v'taher, and then it gets tahor, and then va'achar, after that he's able to eat from the truma. So there are actually three possible ways that the Gemara will allow these words to be interpreted. One possibility is probably how you thought it meant, the Pasha Peshat of the Psukim, how it's translated here in the Chumash, in English here I see also. It's Uva HaShemesh, and the sun comes, meaning like the sun sets, V'taher, and then the person becomes Tahor, that's the Kohen, V'achakach, and after that, Yochel Min HaKadshim, eats Truma. That's one possibility. However, there are two other possibilities. Another possibility is, Uva HaShemesh means, and the sun sets, V'taher, and not that he is purged, like he becomes Tahor, but rather the sky is purged of its light, the sun setting, then there's V'taher, like the purity of darkness. And once that's fully done, then V'achar, at that point afterwards, Yochel Min HaKadshim, you eat from the Kadshim. So V'taher could mean not he becomes Tahor, but the sky becomes Tahor of light, and it's not just B'yis Shemesh, not just setting of the sun alone, but setting the sun plus the removal of all lights enough that we'll have stars coming out. That's the second possibility.
That
would be Tzitzit Kochavim, exactly. A third possibility is, when it says Uva HaShemesh, that can mean the sun comes, that can mean the next morning. The sun shows up on the scene again the next day. All right, the light has arrived. And V'tahir doesn't mean, and then he becomes, you know, automatically Tahor, but maybe it means, you know, V'tahir, he's now, let him go do his thing to become Tahor, which means bring his korban. V'tahir, let him go do what he has to do to become Tahor, like an imperative, as opposed to a passive verb. It's an imperative, he's got to do it. You have three possibilities, and the Gemara's going to have to wrangle with all those possibilities in understanding this pasuk could arrive at the time for the Kohen to eat his truma. Okay, that's where we're headed. So the Gemara now says, from the two dots, 10 lines up, Amar Mar, which literally means the master said. Now, this is a very unusual usage of the words Amar Mar. Normal usage of Amar Mar is when we've quoted another source either a Tanaic source or an Emiratic source. We have someone had a quote somewhere along the way, and we want to recall that quote to say, "Oh, I'm Amar." You know, don't. Oh, that, what we said before, quote unquote. We want to address that issue now. Essentially, nowhere else outside of Daf Beis of Brachos does Amar Mar refer back to the Mishnah itself. Very strange. Okay, there's a book called Lichas Olam, which is written by Rishon, that describes all the Klalim and learning Shas, and there's actually two lead Meforshim on it. One's called Klalia Gemara, which is written by Rabbi Yosef Karo. So it's parish, it's serious. There's another parish also, which is called the Yavin Shmua, and early Achron, I believe. So he asks the question, he answers a dachic answer, basically saying, since we're talking about Truma, and Truma has nothing to do with creation at all, Amar Mar is appropriate. It's like an extraneous fact. But the question is better than the answer. It's very unusual. It's bringing it to your attention. So you see Amar Mar in future, how it should be used. Here it's not the way. In any case, Amar Mar. So the Mishnah said, from the time when the Kohanim come in to eat their Truma. That's the kickoff time for saying Kriyashma. So, Mechti, let's see. Kohanim emas ka'achli Truma. When do the Kohanim eat their Truma? Mishas Tzeis HaKochavim, from the time of the emergence of the stars, we call Tzeis HaKochavim. So that's the answer. If that's true, so then the Gemara says, wait, so then why are you making things so complicated for it? Listening Mishas Tzeis HaKochavim, let the Mishnah say from the time the stars come out. Why do you want to make things so complicated for it? So the Gemara answers, Milsa Agav Orcha Kamash Malan. It wanted to teach us a Milsa, a matter, Agav, on the back of Orcha, on the back of the way. And it was like, you know, by the by, you know, while we're talking about things, we find a way to slip in a new halacha, so we did that also. It's an extra halacha to teach us, like I mentioned to you actually yesterday, I said it, that Kohanim Emes Ka'achli B'Truma, to tell you that when did the Kohanim eat the Truma? Mishas Tzeis HaKochavim, from the time the stars emerge, and therefore Vaha Kamash Malan, it teaches you Zikapara Loma Akva, that kapara, not having your kapara, as we said yesterday, and we saw in Pesukim today, the Kohen can't, even though he goes to the mikvah during the day, it becomes Tumah, he can't eat, he's a Tvul Yom, we said, he's a Shein L'Tumah, he can't eat Truma till Tzeis HaKochavim. So you might think, oh, if he was one had a Tumah, that would be Mechayavim to bring a Korban, if he was a Zav, or she was a Zava, or she was a Yoledes, or he was a Metzora, so then he would have to now bring a korban, and you can't bring korbanos at night to come the next morning. So you might think, oh, if he has to bring a korban, he's a mechusar kippurim, just like somebody a mechusar kippurim, someone who lacks having brought their korban, can't eat from regular kachim. Maybe you think he can't eat from truma also. So kamash malan the kapara loma akva, it comes to teach you that just because you haven't got a kapara and haven't brought your korban the next morning, it doesn't matter. You may not be able to eat kachim, sacrificial meat, but you could eat truma even the night before. So that's an extra thing to teach you. Kedesanya, as it says in the Braisa, Uva Hashemesh V'Taher, like the Braisa quotes our pasuk that I mentioned to you before, and the sun comes and V'Taher. So, well, now the pashas, I don't want to translate it because we'll have to fight it, but let's just say for now, and he becomes Tahor, right? Actually, I should translate it now as V'Taher, and the sky becomes Tahor of its light. That's the understanding here. Via Shimshum Akvas Mlecho Betruma, the setting of the sun will, the arrival of the sun and its sunset will be Ma'ake, will hold them back from eating Truma. Ve'en Kaparasum Akvas Mlecho Betruma. But his not having brought the korban that he owes to bring the next day, that will not hold them back from eating Truma. Fine. Now, so that's that. We've now defined the din in terms of the kickoff time, according to the Mishnah, of saying Kriyashma is when the stars emerge. And the reason why it said it in a very roundabout way instead of a direct way is to teach you a whole separate din, to teach you that a Kohen can eat his Truma even the night before he brings his Korban the next day. Or whenever. Even though he hasn't brought his Korban, I should say, he still can eat from his from Truma. Now, first of all, let me talk halachic bottom line here. That's halacha, that's what we paskin, bottom line, that the Shulchan Aruch brings. You need to have stars. The Rabbeinu Yonah says, not everyone speaks out, but Rabbeinu Yonah will focus on for a second, speaks out that regular stars, not any star will do, they have to be dafka, medium-sized stars, but since you don't know what's a medium-sized star versus a big star or a little star, you should wait for the little stars to come out. And that Kochavim, Katanim, small stars, is the actual words that the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch, brings in Orach Chaim Resh Lamed Hei. So he wants small stars. The Amos of Mikra didn't, you need just medium-sized stars, but since we're not Bekiyim to know what's medium, what's small, then we want three small-sized stars. Now what's wrong with the big stars? The problem with the big stars, quote-unquote stars, is that sometimes you can even have big stars that show up during the sun still up. In fact, just last month, I happened to personally see, at sunset, I saw the sun over the horizon, I saw the ball of the sun, and I actually saw Venus shining in the sky at the same time. It just happened last month. And from time to time, you can have, I don't know, supernovas happen. Sometimes stars are visible in broad daylight. Those are certainly not, no matter what, they're certainly not considered to be, you know, stars for counting for nightfall. So, since we're not Bekiyim, we want small-sized stars, ideally, but even regular-sized stars will do, but not big stars. That's the din. Now, a separate question is, I'd like to ask, is why in the world did the Mishnah do this convoluted method of teaching? And it's a simple question, when do you say Shema? It's a very complicated answer, right? It says, from the time the Kohanim eat their Truma until the end of the first watch. Right? If you tell that to anybody in the street, they won't know when that begins and when that ends. So it's a strong question, I think. I saw the Michta Meliyahu of Dessler in the book, in the Michta Meliyahu, in the collection of the essays there, or letters, whatever they are, in Chelek Dod, page 57, the usual print. He asked the question in a general topic. You know, there's lots of weird things that happen in that seems to be bad pedagogy. You know, like here, this is not clear. Why don't you say this clearly? And he gives other examples, you know, like sometimes Pesukim are set out of order, and then Pesukim, like, partials intermingle. Like, why can't the Torah and Chazal, like, just say it out clear and straightforward so you understand it the first time? So his approach, I don't understand exactly how it answers this particular question, but he says the Torah's agenda isn't about conveying information. It's about getting something into your heart, and that your peh and your lev, your heart and your mind should be, you know, unified, and it's not just about knowing stuff, it's about integrating it. And therefore the Torah's under other agendas besides just conveying raw information, and that's why it does weird things like this. I don't know how that it particularly addresses this particular mission necessarily, but I see these other things. I saw that the Gras speaks about things I don't understand. He says that why is it bringing Truma? Because Truma, it's brought down elsewhere, that Truma is a remez to Trei Memea, 1 out of 50, because that's the shear, the normal amount to give of Truma, the gift of the Kohen is 1/50. And he says that Kriya Shema, you know, there's 50 gates of understanding, and Kriya Shema is the 50th gate, and so on and so forth. I don't understand what he's getting at, to be honest. But the point is, there's obviously more than meets the eye. I saw a different drush on Truma, a nice idea by Sefer. I never heard it before, but it was quoted. It was the Oz B'Yad. You ever heard of that Sefer before? I don't know. I don't know what it is. I just saw it quoted in the name of the Oz B'Yad. He says that you shouldn't. It actually, this shot fits in very nicely what we said yesterday about that. You know, the last point I said about Tanah Hechakai, the Mishnah's setting up the whole framework of Torah, and therefore the right place to start is Kabbalah's Omach L'Shamayim. He says it wants to connect Ben Adam L'Makom, saying Shema, which is between you and Hashem, and Ben Adam L'Chaver, or Truma, is like, you know, supporting the poor, the Kohanim of the poor people. They're like the guy sitting in Kol and teaching Torah and learning. So to support them, and doing the Avodah, obviously, so to support them, you have to give Truma. So it wants to connect that a Yid, Jewish service, isn't just about you and God, it's also about Ben Adam L'Chavero, and therefore wants to get from the outset that they're connected, they're on equal importance, they go hand in hand. It's a nice idea. So, I guess whatever specific, I don't know what specifically Rav Dessler had in mind, but his point was, you know, there's always more to the meets the eye, and that's what the Torah wants more into than just simple information, the fact, you know, conveying raw information. Fine. I want to suggest a different answer, something more prosaic, but I think it's true. You know, I didn't think anybody would see it. I'm also convinced it's true. So I'm saying it. This is the first line of the Mishnah, and Rabbi Yehuda, there's an isser in the Torah from writing down the Torah Shebaal Peh. You're not allowed to do it. It's called Baal Peh oral for a reason. So actually, Rabbi himself, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, wrote this at the end of the 2nd century, compiled the Mishnayos, and he actually, in his last words of Brachos, he talks about the idea of Eis Lasos L'Shem. So sometimes you got to act for God, and really you got to break the Torah in order to keep the Torah. But sometimes you have no choice. But if you didn't write it down, at least something in Torah Shebaal Peh, the whole thing would have been lost. So we had no choice in the matter. So I want to suggest that as the Mishnah opens up, Rebbe, on the one hand, felt, if I don't write something down, it will all be lost. On the other hand, Torah Shebaal Peh is meant to be remains as an oral undertaking. So what? I'm going to write the Torah Shebaal Peh down, but it remains a closed book. And therefore, you're forced to keep a tradition. We're writing down enough, like a rubric, like a syllabus of what to teach, but actually not enough in the notes of just the Mishnah to actually get anything out without having a Rebbe to force you to keep it oral. And therefore, the Mishnah starts out with a beautifully frustrating opening line. It says, when can you say Shema? Reasonable question. And a totally, like, sasum, close off, non-comprehensible answer from the time the quantum go into their truma, whatever that's supposed to be, to the time the end of the first watch, whatever that's like some celestial, the angels changing over the guards, whatever that's supposed to be. In other words, you won't understand anything without getting the Rebbe to explain the Torah Shebaal Peh. And that, I think that's a reasonable reason why the Rebbe did it in that way. Either way, that's that. Now, that's step one. Now, looking back inside the Gemara here, it says, now, just wait a second. We want to learn the pshat of the Uba Shemesh V'Tahir is Teisuk L'Chavim. But now, who said? Umemai Dahai, I'm in the last line of the Gemara here on the bottom base of Miral. Umemai, who says, Dahai Uba HaShemesh, when the sun comes, that's Bias HaShemesh, that's sunset. Vahai V'Tahir, Tahir Yoma. And this, the Tahir that's purifying is the purifying of the day, meaning that the night is, the sky is clear to the light, the end of the day, the proper end of the day. Who said? Right? Dilma, why can't you say that it's Bias Oro? It's the sunrise in the morning. That's also what's coming. The sun is coming up in the morning. Who? My Vitahir, when it says Vitahir and become pure, that's Tahir Gavra, that the man should go now do his business and be Mitahir himself. So Vitahir here doesn't mean he becomes passively, magically Tahor, but rather Vitahir, let him go be purify himself and be ready to say Truma. That's a perfectly reasonable interpretation here, right? So, how can you see from this pasuk a proof that it's Seisuk Kochavim? Maybe it's the next morning, and maybe it's not. Who says that bringing a korban is a makkah? Maybe dafet's makkah, and the pasuk is telling you, wait till tomorrow, bring your korban, be matar yourself, and then eat your truma. Like, how do you see a proof in the words? So, Amar Rabba Bar Shila, Rabba Bar Shila gives an answer. He says, in Cain, if that be true, lemakra v'yitaher. Let the pasuk say not taher, but the yitaher. In a clear imperative form, he will mitahir himself. In other words, this is Rabba Bar Bar Shila's chiddush. He says, listen, it's true mitahir is an ambiguous thing. It could be referring, it's like, the he becoming tahor, it's an ambiguous, it's not what the antecedent is. Is it talking about the sky? It's talking about the man? Not clear. But the Torah is not trying to make things confusing. The Torah would make things clear in the first place. If it wanted to talk about the man, it wouldn't leave it ambiguous and say Tahir. It would say Yitahara. He becomes pure. Let him. He must become pure in an imperative form, and then it would be clear to you. But the fact that the Torah didn't do that, and that it is Tahir, it's clear. It's not talking about the man. It's talking about the day. Fine. That nails it shut, right? Now, the only thing is, that's good. However, Kedamri Inshi, and if you have any problem, that's actually what people... This idiom of using tahor to refer to the sky being pure and washed, the light being washed away, kedamri inshi. That's what as people say in as they do in Bavel, speaking Aramaic, iarav shimsha. The sun has set. The idki yoma, and like the day has become pure. This idki is like that's what people talk about. The day is gone, washed away. So that's acceptable, and that's the pshat, and that's Rabba Bar Bar Shila's explanation out there in Bavel. The problem is, B'ma'arava, out in the west is Eretz Yisrael, right? Of course, Eretz Yisrael is west, southwest, of course, of Iraq, of Bavel. But in any case, they refer to Eretz Yisrael throughout Shas as Marava, the west. So in the west, in Eretz Yisrael, had the Rabba Bar Bar Shila loishmilahu. They never heard this clever, the Torah wouldn't be ambiguous analysis business. Now, they're not convinced at all. In fact, as Tosfos explains, the word Taher means... the imperative, the man has to become pure, all over the Torah. So it's not so compelling all of a sudden that Tahir and this Pasuk, right, magically has to be referring to the day. Maybe not. Ubolahu, they asked the very question, right? Ubolu, miboy hai uva shemesh bia shimshahu. They asked, maybe this, what's it mean when the sun comes, that it's, that means the sun is setting, my v'tahir, tar yoma, and when the day is that what's being tahor is the day being cleansed. Oh, double, maybe that's not the pshat. Maybe what it means is bias oro, it means sunrise. Who? Umay v'tar tar gavra. And what's becoming tar is the man becoming tar the next time he goes to do it. Same question, going back to step one. In other words, if you haven't got the analysis, this great insight of the Torah not being ambiguous of Rav Bar Shila, so then you're left with a question. Right? So, Tosos answers on behalf of Rav Bar Shila, it's not so far-fetched, because everywhere else in the Torah, while it's true that Tahir does sometimes mean the man becoming has to become Torah is an imperative, there's never an ambiguity. This is the only time in all the Psukim where the Tahir can refer to two things, either the day becoming pure or the man becoming pure. So his analysis stands, but they never heard it. Didn't come across that one. Therefore, they have to give a different answer. The Hadar Pashti, and after they asked the question, Hadar, after that, like the return, Pashti, they resolved the issue, La, Mibraisa, they solved the question about when the truma is eaten and what the pasuk is referring to from a different braisa, a braisa that says midikatani b'braisa, and we'll see this braisa inside later on the amr. Sim in the davar, you have a sign for the matter when it's time for the kohanim to eat their truma. That's teisa kochavim, when the stars come out. So there you go. Although they didn't have the analysis of Rav Bar Shila, they had a braisa, and the braisa says the kohanim eat their truma when. How do you know? You can see because the stars come out. Clearly, it's talking about teisa kochavim. Nails it shut. Oh, good, right? The problem is that Tosos, no, that is terrible. That is, Tosos can't swallow it. He said, that's impossible. Why is it impossible? So Tosos' kasha is, I don't want to ask it his way because it'll be less impactful too. I want to ask what the other Rishonim asked, but it's the same question. He says, wait a second. Why would the people in Marava need to rely on this weird braisa floating around to prove that the Kohen must be eating their truma at night and not during the day? Tosos asks explicit, it's also a mission in the Goyim. So he asks, you have a mission in the Goyim that says, it happens, it's Ir of Shemesh, it's sunset, so how could you possibly have a thought? Why would you need a braisa to rely on? But if you don't know the mission in the Goyim, don't worry. You have your own mission here. The same mission that every school kid knows, Me'emas HaKoran HaShema Ba'arvin, in the evening. So it's incomprehensible to think, it's untenable to suggest they weren't sure what time it was the Truma could be the next morning, because we're talking about evening Shema. So how in the world could they have not been sure until they get this extraneous braisa? And therefore, Tosfos has a whole different approach. It's like it's like a major can of worms, because as mentioned yesterday, everyone knows Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam has a whole different approach to what happens, what's called nightfall. In Rabbeinu Tam's world, it's a sugya in Daf Tzadi Talit, Tzadi Gimel, Tzadi Dalit, in Psachim, as well as the second paragraph of Shabbos. We'll get there. But just in short, he learns that when the sun dips below the horizon, that's still broad daylight. That's not anything to do with a suffix of night yet. Night comes way later. Because you can, you got 72 or 90 minutes, you got a long way to go until night happens. So as far as Rabbeinu Tam is concerned, you could be driving your car, sun below the horizon on Friday afternoon. What's the big deal? It's broad daylight outside. It's not nighttime yet. He learns that Shkia is actually a two-part process. It extends over a period of time. And therefore, Tosfos explains that this the sugya here is the question was, they weren't sure maybe that the time that was referred to in Bia Shemesh in the Pasuk is referring to that process of Shkia. Maybe it's, early on in the time, way before Tseis, maybe not. They weren't sure, and therefore they needed to have this braisa which says Tseis HaKachavim explicitly. If you look back in the words, you'll see Tosfos is pretty hard to read also, so he has his own problems to contend with, but I don't want to, that's beyond the purview of this. In any case, those are moving parts for now. Okay. Either way, like I said, lahalacha tseis hakochavim. Don't worry about that. But Tosfos, of course, doesn't back down. He keeps his own world about when Shkia is the nightfall. We'll get to another time. That's a show. Okay. Fine. Now, that's topic number one. Now we got new topics.